Hello, my name is Timothy Gibson, and welcome to the fourth episode of the Football South Coast On The Ball podcast. It was a fantastic spectacle to see the whole of round six of the Illawarra Premier League first grade competition played on one day in the Super Saturday fixtures. The matches were played at Ian McLennan Park, the only synthetic pitch in the region, so with the weather continuing to hang around causing problems for the local pitches, it is likely we will see more of these football-packed weekends at Kembla Grange. With a massive backlog of matches now and Ian McLennan Park operating at full capacity most of the week, I spoke with Football South Coast Chief Executive Officer Anne-Marie Belliana to discuss the model at Ian McLennan and the association's view on more synthetic pitches locally. So thank you for joining me today, Anne-Marie. Certainly not been the start to the season that we were hoping for after two partially completed seasons as well in the past couple of years. It's seen extensive use of Ian McLennan Park, though, this period across all levels of football locally. So what does something like the pitch at Ian McLennan Park cost, and how was that project funded?
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to chat with you. All up, the project at Ian McLennan Park was $2.7 million. Was about $1.7 million that went into the pitch itself. And then on top of that, there was the lights. So we redid the lights right across the facility, perimeter fencing, project management costs, and some other things that had to go into the facility at the time.
How did Football South Coast fund the $800,000 that the association put in?
Yeah, so with the total cost of the facility or that particular project, as you say, Football South Coast put in $800,000. There was also $500,000 put in through the New South Wales government through the Club Grants Category 3 funding, and Wollongong Council put in $1.4 million. With that $800,000, it was really broken up into two parts. Half of that was through our retained earnings, and 40% of our revenue actually comes from non-winter competition. So things like our five-a-side comp, our holiday clinics, our summer football. So we use part of that revenue to fund half of it. And the other half, we had to increase player registrations by $5. And then we did another $5. And even with that, we made sure that as an association, we still were charging one of the lowest fees across the state. And really, when we look at other synthetic pitches, there's no other association that not I know of that's had to put in that amount of money for a pitch, because majority are mainly funded by government grants.
Just on, you know, the registration fees that players are paying, there's a bit of a misconception that Football South Coast or the clubs collect all the player registration fees. Can you clarify that?
Yeah, so in terms of a winter registration player fee, that total fee is split into a component for the club. There's a component for Football South Coast. There's a component for Football New South Wales, and then also Football Australia. Now, on average, out of a total player fee across all of our clubs, Football South Coast fee is 17% of that total amount. Football New South Wales and Football Australia retain 22%. And as you'd expect, the majority is retained by the club for all their expenses. So in terms of that 17% of the fee that FSC collects, that's used to run all aspects of the competition. So it covers things like staffing, rent, utilities, trophies. We buy match balls for all of our clubs and all the other costs you'd expect associated with running an organisation.
Just on the ground itself, I imagine there's going to be ongoing maintenance costs.
We have a dedicated facility manager who looks after the whole facility, and that includes the pitch itself. That has to be groomed once or twice per week. And then there's obviously the infill and sand replacement that has to occur, especially, as you say, during these high periods of use. The big one is after 10 to 15 years, the synthetic or that top surface has to be replaced at an estimated cost of about $500,000, a cost that FSC has to cover. So what we need to do to manage that is have a sinking fund of about $40,000 a year that will then be used to cover the costs of that re-turfing.
What was behind the decision to put the field at Kembla Grange?
Yeah, at the time, South Coast United was willing to give up full access rights. And what that meant was the license, we've got a 20-year license of the field, was handed or given to Football South Coast. And that's incredibly special given that the work that the volunteers and the club put into that ground over so many years. But if you look at the actual location itself, it does have ample parking, albeit I'd acknowledge that that needs improving. It's on coal wash, the ground itself, so there's very good drainage. Obtrusive lighting issues are minimal. It's got covered seating and there's lots of land to potentially develop further in the future. And also there will be a new road that will be connecting Northcliff Drive through to West Apto, effectively replace Wiley Road to a degree, which I think many will agree definitely needs an upgrade.
You mentioned there South Coast United and they still do play their home games there. I imagine there's a user agreement there.
Yeah, we have a user agreement and we wanted to make sure that it was fair to the club, that they didn't lose any usage out of it as well. So South Coast United have the facility for training on Tuesdays and Thursdays and then, of course, for their competition games. There are start and end dates to that usage agreement which align with competition dates.
South Coast United aren't the only team that use the ground and it's been in especially high demand given our current weather. What's the cost of the pitch to hire and how does it compare to other pitch hire processes?
We did a lot of research into this. As an example, Football New South Wales charge $160 per hour at Valentine Sports Park, and there are some facilities that charge up to $330 per hour. We charge $80 to our member clubs, and that includes lighting. And the reason that we made it so cheap is we wanted to offset the contribution that players made, which we spoke about earlier. And then we have $150 that we charge to our non-member clubs.
One of the other clubs that uses the field is the South Coast Flame, who currently compete in the Football New South Wales League 3 competition. How much use do they get?
Yeah, so South Coast Flame has 20 teams right across from SAP to the senior squads, and not all teams use the facility. They just simply couldn't fit on there anyway. The seniors have a guaranteed booking for training one night per week, and they pay for that ground as any other club would. That guaranteed booking is on a Monday night, and given it's off the back of a weekend, it's probably one of the nights that's not in such high demand in terms of time slot for usage. If Flame wants to use the ground on any other night, the reality is they could be bumped off if there's a makeup game that needs to be played, which takes priority. And we spoke about that sinking fund earlier, that $40,000 that we need every year to then replace the pitch. So in periods of dry weather, demand for the pitch is minimal. So having a regular tenant as an anchor club is quite important from a financial perspective. So Flame as a regular tenant contributes to the financial management of the pitch. And that means that ground hire fees can be maintained as low as they are. They are actually funding a large portion of that sinking fund.
And the pitch has been used across a number of competitions and events and training. How much use do other clubs and community groups get on the pitch?
Yep. Well, 2021 wasn't a good indication with COVID, but for 2019 and 2020, based on some stats that we put together, nearly one third of usage was by FSC member clubs. Approximately another third was used by schools, holiday clinics, junior programs, summer football and other clubs, such as the other NPL clubs in the region. And the remainder of usage was by Flame, our SAP programs and South Coast United training. And more recently, at this time of year, the ground is normally used for pre-season games. So this weather has just compounded the demand for the pitch. And then, of course, we've got things like the Australia Cup games, which need to be played by certain days, so that adds even more pressure. Now, so far, we've had the Peter Webster Cup, we've had Bonnie Lassie and the Julie Porter Cup. We've also had the Super Saturday concept for District League and Premier League. In addition to the Wolves have been training there, we've had a steady stream of schools during the day also. And what we've done for the school holidays is we've offered all of our junior clubs time on the field during the day at no cost, given they've also been impacted by the weather. In terms of competition games, clubs generally don't want to give up their home games because it's an opportunity for canteen and gate takings to allow them to maximise their income generation. Having said that, at one IPL game, the club used the barbecue at the facility. They used the ticket box for gate taking. So we're trying to accommodate and assist clubs where possible. Our general rule is that competition games take precedence over training and in some case trial games. And for times between 5:30 and 10:30 on weekdays, which are the times the ground has been used with the recent demand, there's close to 70% availability for ground hire after you factor in South Coast United and Flame usage during those times. We can generally fit two games each night at 6:30 and then 8:30 kickoffs. And of course, this excludes the weekend. Of course, we've already spoken about some of the things that we've, or all the events we've facilitated on the weekend.
And what about the junior clubs? Do they get an opportunity to play on it as well?
Yeah, of course. During the season, obviously teams that play against South Coast United get to use the pitch. And every Sunday, we have our graded juniors playing at the ground. So every graded player across every club gets to play at Ian McClellan Park. And this is at no cost to the club. And FSC covers the referee fees. Again, given the player contribution to fund the pitch, we saw this as a good way to give back to juniors. And then with Mini Roos, we're mainly trying to get them to gain access through things like summer football, clinics, FSC Cup, and some other development programs that we offer.
You mentioned a little bit earlier that the Wolves have been using the ground to train on, but do the local representative teams in the region, such as the Wolves and the Stingrays, use the ground?
Well, they certainly have in the past. The Wolves are obviously mid-season, so are in need of a ground at this particular time. So, and the Wolves have used the ground on several occasions, not just this year, but, you know, even previous years through training sessions and, you know, Australia Cup games. And we've got the Wolves juniors, I think, accessing the ground during the day, during the school holidays, which is great that we can offer that as well. So look, as a key part of the football community, they were always identified as a potential user of the facility, as were schools and even other sporting codes. I mean, we've had baseball hire the field out once. It's just unfortunate with the time pressures of the games that we have, with Australia Cup games on and all that existing usage that I've mentioned, it's impossible to accommodate everyone during such extreme periods of wet weather that we are experiencing at the moment.
And just to finish off, the current weather certainly showcases the demand for synthetic pitches in the region. What is Football South Coast's view on more synthetic pitches?
Look, we think synthetic pitches definitely have a place, and that it's periods like this that really identify that we do need more. Having said that, there are a whole lot of considerations that need to be given to location, funding, ongoing maintenance and surrounding infrastructure. So that all needs to be taken into account. Look, unfortunately, at this point, we just don't have the funding to replicate the model we have at Ian McClellan Park, and it really needs government investment, both upfront and ongoing. And having said that, it's important that we also look at other options across the region. You know, in Sydney, I've spoken to a number of associations where their councils have converted unused tennis courts into smaller synthetic surfaces just so they can facilitate some training during wet weather. And not only that, we need to look at better drainage across all of our sports fields. Again, with this extreme wet weather, a better drainage might help, but it's not going to solve the problem. But it's, I think, is still a really good thinking point for many of our clubs and sports fields.
Well, thank you for clarifying that stuff for us, Anne-Marie. I really appreciate it. I'm sure people listening on will too.
Great. Thanks so much, Tim.